The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, Monday Night Raw, review.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max's WWE Raw Review. That's right, and we are brought to you by W2Mnet.com as well as 411Mania.com. And also, don't forget, you can also go subscribe, rate, and review at Wrestling to the Max on YouTube as well as Podcast Addict or even Apple Podcasts. Wherever you want to find us, just make sure you go rate, subscribe, and review. That's right, we just appreciate it because not only does it get the word out about us, but it also gives us an idea of what you like and maybe some of the things you don't like. So go ahead and give us that feedback. Also, don't forget, too, the W2M Network is also available on all those same platforms. If you love everybody over there at the W2Mnet.com, it gives you all the podcasts that we provide on the network, and we really do want you guys to go check out all the other great content that we do have there in store for you today. Of course, I am Gary Vaughn, and I am here with your host tonight, Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And Paul, we got a Raw to talk about where I'm really kind of curious what you're going to say. I am a little bit nervous coming in that I've got a lot of bad things to say, but we'll see how this balances out overall. So, yeah, let's get this thing going, man.
Let's do it. And for me, this was another hit or miss episode of Raw for me. But we're going to start with maybe the biggest hit of the night, and that's this opening segment. After the opening credits roll, we get some highlights of all the stuff that's been going on between Dean and Seth as they struggle to try to trust each other, while Sheamus and Cesaro have seen fit to just beat on them at every turn to keep the challengers down and uncooperative. And this leads to Dean coming out. He's all fired up. He knows what's on everybody's mind, and that's where he and Rollins are after last week when, of course, he put his, as he says, put his butt on the line, put himself out there, and went for the fist bump, and Rollins just sort of said, you know what, no. So Rollins comes out later and says, you know, Ambrose, you've been playing games with me. I've done everything I can to show you I'm not this person anymore. And maybe this Shield reunion just isn't meant to be. But you know what? Whether we're against each other or whether we're fighting together, we bring out the best in each other. And I feel like we can overcome this, so we get a tease of the fist bump after, Dean sort of starts doubting him and doesn't want to do it. And finally, Rollins, pulls back and Ambrose does it, and then Rollins refuses, and then they start fighting each other. And eventually Dean just sort of bails. Sheamus and Cesaro come out. They start attacking Rollins, but here comes Ambrose in to make the save, and at the end, we finally get our huge fist bump that they've been teasing for weeks. This was really, really good. The crowd was insanely hot for it. It feels like the natural progression of the story because these guys have gone through so much not trusting each other, and either they've had enough of Sheamus and Cesaro or whatever they said tonight finally mended the fence. But here we are, two-thirds of the Shield back together, Gary.
Yeah, and I think the premise and everything they've added up to has actually been something that's positive, I guess I can say, because of the fact that it's really common sense. It gives you history. Mm-hmm. It gives you a build. That's exactly what you want to do, especially when you're heading into a major pay-per-view. And I think that's fine. I think the one thing that still kind of lingers with me is the fact that both Ambrose and Rollins came off such bad feuds. Mm-hmm. I think some of that still has lingered with me a little bit. I'm still trying to find myself back in the mood of being interested in these guys again. And then you throw Sheamus and Cesaro in the mix, and I guess that makes it exciting. Those two guys are kind of fun to watch, and of course, throwing them in here, I think, kind of gives them that little bit of a vibe of, hey, we've got something important to deal with. It's not just about our personal problems. We've also got this other couple of guys who just won't leave us alone, and let's just take them down. And mm-hmm. So that's great, and that's dandy. The one thing, though, that does bother me about this whole presentation is the fact that they kind of keep going back and forth, which I get, that's the deal. They're supposed to be doing that. But it's almost so over-exaggerated. I'm just like, good God, man. Like, Dean Ambrose looking around like 75 times before he, like, you know, does anything. I'm like, my God, his head just – they just need to have it rotating, like, constantly. It just needs to – the Exorcist needs to be his new gimmick. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a little over exaggerated, especially that they're holding the fist together. I'm like, well, they're obviously doing this for like 3 minutes straight so they can get photos taken. I think that's the thing. They're like, we need to get photos for our gimmick table, guys. Just hold on 3 minutes. We'll take these photos and we'll be done. That's what it felt like at the end there. So yeah, I know it's a little picky, you know, all this stuff, but I just kind of think it's over exaggerated. And then also the other thing is, I think Cesaro and Sheamus saved him for basically saved us from a Brokeback Mountain, because these guys, it was almost like in really like lovers quarrel situation out here. I mean, I don't like you. No, I don't like you. Let's fight. And I was starting to wonder. So yeah, it just got a little weird for a minute there for me. So I think overall, sure, this is going to work out. I think when it gets to SummerSlam, you can be excited. Two-thirds of the Shield are together. But, I mean, I don't know. I think the crowd is what really put this over for me. I don't even know if they did it themselves. I think really the crowd helped me care about this, because they were super hot for this. I mean, you would think that they were all wearing Shield T-shirts in the audience.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some of them were. We, you know, it's a big arena, but for me, this, like, I'll give you the fact that neither Dean or Seth have been super hot recently, but since they sort of started teasing this and all of that, I'm a sucker for a well-told story, and this is, I think it's been done very well between these two, and for a division that needs a tag team and a hot one at that, these two come in and offer instant credibility. I think everywhere they go, the fans have been into what these guys have been doing, and despite the fact that they may not be as hot as you wanted them to be, they're certainly managing to pull you into this story very effectively, I feel like. And while Cesaro and Sheamus haven't been the greatest foils, because it's not like they've been actively keeping them apart because they haven't needed to, I feel like, you know, they're the big, strong team on the block, and they're going to beat them down and all this other stuff, and that's what they do. And from that perspective, it sort of works. But once we're done with keeping these two guys together, I'd like to see this feud transition to be more about two teams rather than will they, won't they. And, you know, I don't know about a lover's quarrel, but I think they were certainly going for, you know, brothers fight, and that's what they do. And then they, you know, they make up and finally fist bump at the end, in this case, or kiss and make up if we're going by the quote. But and maybe that just speaks more to what you were thinking of. But
yeah, well, that's a lot more action. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, I'm making jokes. And really, honestly, you're right. This is more towards the brother stuff. And I get all that. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not against the story. I think the story is there. I think they've done a well done job really kind of building it together. I just think some of the things they did here, it took them a lot of time. They were really over exaggerating it, and I get that. This is entertainment. That's what they're trying to do. You know, this is not just about what Gary likes. It's what 8-year-old kid in the crowd is going to want to see. It's what the mom at home sitting on the couch is watching with her kids, and she's like, oh, this is so dramatic. This is like watching Grey's Anatomy again. You know, that's what they want. And that's good. It's just, to me, it's a little overdone. It's hard, though, because, you know, me and you both watch a little stuff on the indie circuit. We watch Ring of Honor, different shows, and they don't give you that like this. So sometimes I kind of see it more than I think other people do.
I think that's a very fair point. So let's go ahead and move along, because there's a lot of other stuff maybe I don't want to talk about. So let's get this one out of the way first. First thing, Kurt Angle's backstage with the Hardys, and he has to tell them that the Revival can't compete at SummerSlam, obviously, because Scott Dawson has hurt his shoulder. The Miz and the Miz-Raj show up. They're upset about Brock trying to murder them last week. I think that's, you know, a very rightful comment to have. And they kind of go back and forth for a little bit. Curtis Axel's going to take on Jason Jordan tonight, even though after he couldn't last week. Miz says, no, I see what you're trying to do here. I'm going to be the one to fight your son. I'm going to put him in his place. And a ref shows up to inform him that there's an issue between Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt. So splitting off from there, we see Balor and Wyatt. They've obviously gotten a fight backstage. There's finally enough people back there to separate them. Angle decides that they're going to have their fight tonight instead of waiting for SummerSlam. And at this point, I'm sort of shaking my head because this isn't the first match from SummerSlam that they're going to blow early. And honestly, it's a little bit of a surprise here. It's not like Finn and Bray have a bad match here. They get a little north of 10 minutes. Bray Wyatt surprisingly wins and then hits another Sister Abigail after the victory. And pretty much, I didn't know if he was going for paint or blood. Larry here at 401 thought it was jam. So clearly, I'm not the only one who's confused out of all this. But eventually, this gets booked into Bray facing Finn Balor as the demon at SummerSlam. So I was not a fan of this really at all.
You know, I understand for the fact that they want to maybe put a match together where people are getting interested in it, and then it falls short of what their expectations are, or maybe the fact that Finn Balor losing this match against Bray Wyatt doesn't leave a great taste in their mouth, so they're hoping that you'll tune in Sunday so you can watch Bray Wyatt lose at the pay-per-view. That's what they probably are going for here, and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I think in the end, though, to me, the match wasn't anything super spectacular. It was fine. I actually don't have any negativities against the match. It's just a Raw match. Got it. Good. I think the other components, though, are kind of special. I do like Bray winning. I mean, sure, winning at SummerSlam would probably be the bigger thing to help his character and help him personally. But I don't know if that's going to happen. I really don't think it is. So this is good. At least he can say that he did beat, you know, the Finn Balor. And I would almost say the demon. I can't say that because it's not the demon. It's just Finn Balor. Mm-hmm. But he beats him. And then now he pours this stuff all over him. And you're having this carry moment, right? And you're thinking it could be blood. It could be jam. And maybe kind of want to go to IHOP. But here's the thing. I think that left a picture in people's minds. And just the fact that you have it look like that really Finn Balor's a bloody mess. And it makes you think, you know, it could have been pig guts or pig blood because it's kind of that cultic thing, right? I mean, that's pretty much what he's trying to go for, I think, for the most part. So in my imagination, it's blood. For everybody else who, you know, wants to think what they want, that's fine. It's good that they left that open. I don't know if you agree, Paul. I'm glad that they left it open. They didn't say, oh, no, that's jam. I'm glad they just let it be.
They did leave it be. I mean, obviously, them trying to clarify and tell you what it was would have hurt this no matter what, whether it was paint or blood or jam or just red cornstarched water or whatever this was. And I get what they're going for, right? Bray wants the demon. Clearly wants the demon. And that's what all this is building up to. I don't know if you needed to give 10 minutes of the match away when you're probably going to get a lot of the same at SummerSlam. And two, I just, you know, it's a little, I still don't care, which really sucks. I love Finn and in all this, and it's just, I have no interest. How has WWE done this to me, Gary? Have they done this to a lot of people?
Well, now you feel my pain over Bray Wyatt. Now you're feeling that same sucker punch in your stomach because I felt the exact same way about Bray Wyatt because I used to love Bray. Anything Bray did, I was over the moon for. And now I'm at that point where I'm just like, yeah, it's Bray Wyatt. Let's move on and talk about something else. And that sucks for me. I hate that. And Finn Balor, too. I really enjoy Finn, and I think Finn is one of those guys that he has potential to be a main event star in this company. And yet we're sitting here and we're talking about this is okay. It is what it is, you know. So I'm, you know, looking at this match and for the fact that, like you're saying, they gave away a ton of it. They really didn't leave a lot left on the bone for SummerSlam, I don't think, unless they just really let Finn go nuts. Finn's going to have to really start breaking out some of that New Japan action before, you know, we really sit here and say this is going to, and I don't think that's going to be. I think either it's going to be a short match or something else is going to happen, or they just gave away a lot of it, and that sucks. I really, really hate that. The only redeeming factor is the fact that Bray poured all this junk all over Finn Balor for me. I really do think that, and to me also, it leaves a great picture at the end of the match. But outside of that, you're right, Paul. Me and you don't disagree. I kind of hate that they gave away so much.
And then feeding off what I was talking about earlier, we have The Miz taking on Jason Jordan. This lasts all of a minute and a half because Jordan is pretty much showing The Miz up. Axel and Mr. Bo Dallas, of course, can't have that, so they run in and attack him. 3-on-1 goes on for a little bit. Here comes the Hardys to make the save. They clear out the ring. This leads to the 6-man tag. Now Jason Jordan and the Hardys teaming up to take on The Miz Durage. This gets about 15 minutes or so. The crowd doesn't care about Jason. The Hardys couldn't make a pop for him. I don't know if Axel and Dallas are starting to drag Miz down with him, but this is all just sort of lukewarm stuff, I think, for a lot of the crowd.
Well, for the fact, too, the Miz doesn't get a chance to look good at all. Never once does Miz really get to have that upper hand. To a little, you know, here and there, but really, honestly, you don't walk away with thinking, man, you know, Miz really should have took care of this. It just made Jason Jordan look really awesome, which I kind of hated because I think he's a great heel. And he's got the potential to be a great heel. Not really he's excellent, but I guess I'm speaking more to the future. But right now he's playing this babyface role, I guess, now. And this is out of just whatever. People just don't like him. They don't care. They're not thrilled about Jason Jordan. So why are you making The Miz look so bad? I that makes no sense to me. And then, of course, now you throw in the Hardys with this Miz Taraj and it's bland. It's just there. I that's all it is to me. I don't care. They've really made the Miz Taraj very, very weak. And this is exactly why this whole thing is very, very weak. Sure, people love the Hardys. The Hardys can't save this. It's obvious. Tonight, they did a lot of different things in the match. I didn't hear the crowd just go overly crazy. They're just like, oh, whatever, you know. And that's a problem. That's a big problem. So, to be honest with you, Paul, I don't know how excited you were, but I was pretty thrilled about the Miz Taraj. I thought, okay, cool. Miz is doing really good. He's going to build up Bo Dallas. He's going to build up Curtis Axel, and maybe they can start to do things on their own. Right now, no, like you said, is it them dragging Miz down, or is it WWE just booking them to keep them down? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many people now who are just sort of starting to make the Miz and company, let's face it, look like trash. Obviously, getting run over by Brock does nobody any favors except Brock, and even that's diminishing returns, I think, at this point. And I see what they're trying to do with Jason, right? They have this big story around him. They want him to be something for the brand now, and people ain't buying it because it's fake. And you can't really fabricate this sort of thing anymore, I think, in the world of wrestling. I think you couldn't do this kind of thing in the 80s, honestly. But there's... you're right. This either needs to go a direction where Jason ends up starting to try to prey on Kurt's good at will towards him to turn himself into a star, or they need to scrap this and just sort of let it go away quietly, because it just doesn't feel like it's working. And if The Miz is going to be victim to all this, I don't know if I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too. It just so sucks because The Miz has been a kind of a bright spot for us, especially when he was on SmackDown. You thought, man, this guy is just doing so well. Coming over to Raw, you had high hopes, and you kind of felt like he had that opportunity to be what he was, but then they started putting him in these feuds, and it just started going downhill from there. So I just hope some way, somehow, they can try to revitalize this whole group and do what they can to make the Miz Taraj mean something. The way they're treating him now is just, it's not going to work, and pretty soon, no one's going to care. And that's a big, big bummer for me. And, you know, I hope they don't even take the Hardys down with them, because the Hardys don't need to be involved in stuff like this. I get it. You want the Hardys at SummerSlam. They need to be there. They need to find something to do, but once again, Jason Jordan is not well liked by the crowd. It's a weird mixture with somebody who is well liked by the crowd, like the Hardys.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree. And let's move on to this other thing that they just straight up gave away from SummerSlam as Neville defends the Cruiserweight Championship against Akira Tozawa. This is a very, very good match, first of all. About as good as what we got on the pre-show back at Great Balls of Fire. I'm kind of miffed that they did this here, but Akira Tozawa does end up winning. Neville misses the red arrow. He goes up and hits the senton to get the pin. We get a big celebration from the Titus brand as Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews come in to celebrate with Tozawa and hold him up and all that good stuff. And really, this is a feel-good moment, and the crowd bought into this big time. And later on in the show, we realize now that they're going to rematch at SummerSlam as Tozawa will defend against Neville. I don't have any problems with what we got in the match. I have a problem with this not happening at SummerSlam.
And I feel you on that, and I understand that to be honest with you, the thought process, because of the fact that SummerSlam is supposed to matter, mm-hmm. and you're tuning in for those special moments, so you just took away another thing from SummerSlam. Right. It's almost like they've got a plan for SummerSlam that does not involve all these things that they built up to. And what are they going to do, have a guy come out and perform a concert and take up 30 to 45 minutes? Is that why we're having it just makes me concerned. I know, right? But it makes me concerned that they're giving away so much on this Raw that they basically have time or something that they can do other things in 4 hours. So, needless to say, I'm very happy with the match. Great for a Monday Night Raw. For Akira Tozawa to win this belt, it either speaks two things to me. One, they just wanted a special moment on Raw to maybe pop the viewers, that maybe people understand that Raw still does do title shots and people still do win titles on Monday Night Raw. Two, really, this could be a one-and-done thing, at least for the moment, because maybe Neville comes and wins it at SummerSlam. And so that's another thought process, that are going to flip-flop the title. And I don't really like that kind of stuff. I'm just not a big fan of it. But if that's what they're going to do, I mean, I get it.
Yeah, it'd be a super big bummer if they just flip-flop the championship. Neville had an incredible run with the championship, and if you want him to move on to other things, I completely understand. He's been so great with that, and just to have him flip-flop the championship like this, to somebody who deserves it, no doubt, Akira Tozawa, tremendous wrestler, got himself over very easily in a short amount of time, and WWE's really gotten behind that, thankfully. But to do a disservice like flip-flopping championships just seems sort of wrong for both of these guys. And kind of against what I guess the original intent of the Cruiserweight Championship was supposed to be about. Like, it's supposed to be about competition and, good title reigns. Like, it's meant to be, I think, something dedicated more towards indie-minded fans. And it's not.
No, you're exactly right. And that's what's bugged me about 205 Live is for the fact that they've really made it more about WWE and the way they present things and not giving you something different. It just feels like you're watching Raw Lite a lot of times on 205. And yeah, sure, it's got some great action and some guys that can really move and do flips and do those great things, but it does not feel indie like I really felt like it was going to be. I thought it was going to be more like the Cruiserweight Classic. Super excited about that. And then you get this and you're just kind of let down. And that's part of the reason why I was kind of happy. Okay, well, if they're not going to do it on 205, let them do it on Raw. But this is bad timing because SummerSlam is right next door to this Raw. Why would you give that away? You want people to tune in on SummerSlam, especially those fans who like the indie stuff. Come on. Just do it there.
Yeah, I completely agree. So let's go and talk about some stuff that we did like, or at least I did. First up, the number one contendership's match to crown a new challenger for Alexa Bliss for the women's title at SummerSlam as Sasha Banks takes on Nia Jax. 15 minutes. I thought this was pretty darn good for what it was. Nia, I think, still looks pretty strong coming out of this. And Sasha, however, does manage to overcome, lock in a bank statement, and beat Nia once again. So she will be the one to get her rightful rematch now against Alexa Bliss at SummerSlam. And honestly, I'm okay with all this. I thought this was the match was good. I'm looking forward to the championship match now at SummerSlam. I feel like, even though they took a bullet with Bayley getting hurt, all of that, you know, it didn't take too much away from what still is going to be an awesome match.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, you also have to give him credit for setting the stage and having Alexa Bliss come out and sit, you know, on her technical throne. Because that was kind of cool to have that take place too, because, you know, it just brings something else to the whole equation, because this is an important match, and she knew whoever was in that ring, one of them was going to come out and face her at SummerSlam. So I appreciate that. This match was, you know, pretty solid. I think they did a great job, because really it made both look so well. Nia Jax comes out of this looking like she really should have won. To be honest with you, I mean, all the power, she was able to overcome some of the things that, you know, Sasha Banks kept throwing at her. And really, it was, what, 2 to 3 chances that really she should have gotten the pinfall. But Sasha Banks just kind of moved out of the way, rolled out of the ring, and really gave us that different look of, okay, man, that was a close call. So I appreciated that overall. But the way Sasha won, it made sense. You come out of this thinking, okay, well, she's well-deserved. And Nia Jax, honestly, still coming out of this is well-deserved. So I was happy. I think they did a wonderful job with this. This was not a 5-star match or anything. I'm not putting it over like that. But it didn't have to be. It wasn't all about being a 5-star match. It was about giving you something that's solid, that made both ladies come out looking good.
Right, exactly. But I guess I should mention this before I forget about it. The Drifter plays a song. R-Truth comes out to interrupt and starts rapping on him. Elias attacks him, beats him up, and grabs his guitar and then just sort of leaves. So I don't know if you have anything for that, but it was a segment.
Do you smell a rap battle coming on, or maybe a sing-off or something like that? Do you smell that coming up here, Paul?
I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's squash. You don't really have a lot to say about this. This is probably not going to be a part of SummerSlam, and if it is, it's on that pre-show.
Yeah.
But I will say that would be funny to have those two guys be a tag team, wouldn't it? To have like a you know, they could be a singing group of some sort. I don't know. But that probably won't happen. I just thought about it, so. It is what it is.
I think this would be fine on the pre-show if they wanted to do a sing-off there. Like, that's what that's supposed to be for, right? Not having title matches or anything like that. So, let's talk about this the segment here. They lower the shark cage. Big Cass comes out and tries to start a promo, but the crowd is so loud they either keep throwing him off, or he milks it too long, or something like that. However, he finally gets to hyping up his match against the Big Show, and tells us all that Enzo, of course, can only really be a man and fight and all this other stuff when he's got some big guy backing him up and all this. And he just gets on everybody's nerves. It's not just him. And eventually, this brings out Enzo, who says, you know, wonders if he has a concussion because he's talking all this trash, even though he's been knocked out 2 weeks in a row. Eventually, Enzo does bring out the Big Show, and this leads to a big old brawl. Cass ends up taking out Enzo, who charges into the ring first, which allows Show to attack. Eventually, Gallus and Anderson come out to help Cass out. Beat down the Big Show, even though Big Show does throw them around for a little bit, and Big Show ends it all by he hits a KO punch earlier on, which I should mention because it's later reported by some trainers in the back that he broke his hand, and I'm sure it's an angle because it didn't look like it would actually break his hand, but either way, Cass and the Good Brothers end up standing tall as they just keep on beating Big Show down until he can't get up anymore.
Yeah, you know, I think this is fine. I think, you know, Kaz coming out, let me say this too, the music that he came out to, a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Not perfect, but Kaz, I mean, I felt stronger about you with the way that they associate. I don't know if they just changed the rhythm of the music or they did something they did to the music better. But yeah, him coming out and talking and really just kind of working with a crowd, I could still see he had some nerves, but I think that he's gotten himself to a point where he's a little bit more believable and you know, giving off the promo that he needs to give. But the rest of this is kind of predictable. You kind of figured, you know, Big Show would make an appearance with Enzo and do all this stuff. But, you know, I really didn't put into play that they were going to try to come up with the angle where Big Show was injured. So it seems like they're really wanting Kaz to come out and not only be the big heel, but us coming to this matchup realizing that, you know, it's a matchup where, you know, no little buddy is going to be able to help Big Show. And not only that, he's going to come in with probably a cast or a soft cast or something that's going to eliminate Big Show from being able to do the knockout punch. So It's a little bit more of an even playing field for Kaz. And I think that works. I think it'll make for a better match, too, you know. So
it also gives Big Show a believable way to lose now, because I don't think they're going to let Big Cass lose so soon into a singles run. So There's all that, too.
Yeah.
Mickey James and Emma meet backstage. Emma continues to rant about how she deserves a championship match and an opportunity and all this. And Mickey, of course, ain't having any of that. Reminds Emma that, hey, you're the one that tapped out last week in that triple threat, and maybe we should have a match tonight to kind of put all this to bed. They do. Mickey wins. It's a match. It's really about all I can say.
Not great. Match wise, I mean, it's okay. It's, you know, I think what we kind of expected. I will say, though, I think at least the little backstage interaction, it worked for me. I mean, maybe it wasn't super thrilling, but I appreciate them addressing a couple of things, the social media stuff, and I think they also addressed the fact that, you know, Mickey James still is working for WWE for the most part, because a lot of times you don't get a chance to see her. And, you know, heck, even, you know, let's be honest, you know, we don't have now I'm blanking on her name. I'm having a brain fart here. Emma. You don't get a chance to see her either, for the most part. So I'm glad they got a quick match here. This is kind of like a cool down, if you want to call it that. But, you know, it also makes it more intriguing with, you know, Emma losing again. And I think it's going to light the fire. I kind of like the way that they're going about this. I think Emma's going to come out and become a bigger heel and be even better and start to win matches compared to losing them. So.
Mm-hmm. And then all we really have left to talk about now is the main event segment, where all four men in the Universal title match are going to go face-to-face. Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman come out first. Angle has come out before all this to have security surround the ring, so that way, you know, he has the illusion of control, essentially. Heyman says, you know, it's no offense to you, Mr. Angle, but all hell is going to break loose tonight, because you're going to have all four of these giants in the ring, four murderers, four killers, four big badass hosses, and there's no way this doesn't end without a fight. But he, you know, when Brock loses, if Brock loses the championship a long way down the line and all that, it will be because somebody was better than Brock, not because it's going to be a one-on-four situation and all this, and somebody's not going to get lucky and all these other things. And this eventually brings out Samoa Joe first, who restates a lot of stuff I think he said before. He's not afraid of Brock Lesnar. He's going to choke him out. He's going to take the title away from him. All this good stuff. Here comes Braun. He's not done with anybody yet. He was the last man standing last week. He's going to be the last man standing again on Sunday. Here comes Roman Reigns. Roman ain't got time for words, though. It's time to fight. And we have this big old brawl. Security tries to break them apart. They fail spectacularly at times until eventually it's just down to Brock and Braun as they sort of just start roaring at each other and tossing guys and keep on bringing in more guys. And eventually they get enough people into the ring to seemingly try to separate them. And then, of course, that fails. And then the show ends with just a big brawl. So I thought this was cool. Like, this is everything you want to see on Sunday. You're just, you know, you're getting a little taste of it now.
Exactly, and it really, you know, made these guys look like just complete juggernauts. Mm-hmm. All of them come out looking, you know, like that they could, you know, do anything they wanted to anybody in the room. So that's what we want to see. That's the one of the bigger matchups on this SummerSlam card, and I'm pretty happy with it. I think Paul Heyman, you know, being the guy that spoke the longest in this whole thing, really, it wasn't old hat. I was kind of concerned, and sometimes, to be honest with you, Paul Heyman just kind of cuts the same old promo, and he tries to be entertaining, but it's just, man, you just tell me the same story over and over again, and this was the same story, but yet he kind of came at it from a different angle, I felt like. It added a few things that were important, and so, I mean, I just got to give him credit for that. But yeah, I mean, outside of this, I think it's a great way to end Raw and send it off in a SummerSlam. You know, we'll yet see what SmackDown does at the end of their show, but I think for Raw, they did a great job in capping it off, getting us ready for, you know, this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. They did announce tonight that tomorrow on SmackDown, Cena is going to go one-on-one with Jinder, so you have that rip-roaring match to look forward to tomorrow night, but as of right now, Gary, all we have left to do is to slap a number on this bad boy, so what you going to give it?
You know, this was an okay go-home show. Mm-hmm. I think there were some moments where you felt like that, you know, they got you ready for SummerSlam, and I think there's others where they were just basically saying, we're just going to give you this because at SummerSlam we're going to do something different. And that sucked for me in a way. But I get it. They wanted you to have some big matches for this Raw, and maybe they were trying to get viewership up. But still, I think there are some things that they could have held off on. So, overall, I'm going to give this a 6. It wasn't great. It was kind of okay. A little bit underwhelming for my taste.
I think a 6 is perfect. There's a lot of good stuff on this show to take away from. You get some good wrestling. I think some of the segments were quite good. Them blowing a lot of SummerSlam early, though, really leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Some of the stuff you get on here, of course, isn't very good as well. It's another hit-or-miss episode. It's just fortunate that a lot of the good stuff that they've built is really good, and everything else is the typical WWE stuff where you're kind of, you're either into it or you're not, and then, of course, you get the usual, I don't say trash segments, but stuff that's not as good. And that's all here on display yet again, so 6 sounds right.
Yeah, and one thing before we get out of here, I just want to say this. They announced on Raw, of course, that, you know, Finn Balor taking on, you know, Bray Wyatt's going to happen, of course, but they basically came out after the whole situation between those two and announced, you know, the Demon's going to be there, and then they had a picture of the Demon versus Bray Wyatt, and I don't know if I really cared for that. I know I should have mentioned this earlier, but I just thought about it. What did you think about that, Paul? Because I kind of thought that's a little bit cheesy. I wish they'd less let the Demon be the make his appearance. Don't do it on a picture.
Yeah, you know, they wouldn't have done the paint or blood, pig's blood, whatever that was segment. That's enough foreshadowing, right? I don't know if you need a picture or anything like that, but I mean, maybe they do. Maybe they just, they're so worried people aren't going to be watching or something like that, that they want people to know, hey, the Demon's going to be here at SummerSlam. You should really watch this.
Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you. It kind of bummed me out because the reason I love the Demon so much is because it's that wow factor, and you kind of take it away when you advertise the crap out of it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, hopefully, you know, it's better than what they're making it be. So, but yeah, that is, of course, you know, our Raw for tonight. Want to let everybody know we'll be doing a special post-SummerSlam podcast. That's right. We do them after every pay-per-view. So we want you guys to come check that out. And, of course, if you want to hear our predictions for this show, you have to tune in this Friday morning. We will be doing all our predictions for NXT TakeOver Brooklyn and, of course, SummerSlam. So if you want to come check that out, it'll be on part 2 of episode 260, and you'll get all that information and it really get all of our predictions right there in that one podcast. Hey, and come and check us out for part 1 of episode 260. You know, of course, you can go check it out right now if you're listening to this. It is a great show because not only do we cover a lot of the big news topics this week, but we also get into some Ring of Honor talk and a lot more that you guys are not going to want to miss. Trust me, great episode. But anyway, well, guys, we thank you once again for joining us. Make sure you go check out W2Mnet.com, go check out 411Mania.com, as well as go rate, subscribe, and review at Wrestling of the Max or the W2M Network. Until next time, guys, we will catch you guys down the road.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.